Hey, it's Rick Kettner here. Let's explore 5 practical tips for how to choose a great book. This is important because reading is an excellent opportunity to learn from the experiences of others. It's a chance to avoid wasting time, energy, or money trying to rediscover or relearn what other people have already solved for you. But of course, even with this being the case, it's very important to choose the right books, the books that are going to have the greatest impact for you personally. So by the end of this episode, you're going to have a simple system that you can use to choose your next great book. Let's begin with tip number 1. Identify a clear opportunity or challenge. The best place to get started, even before you look at books or topics or themes, is to simply decide what is it that you are excited to learn about. And the 2 ways I like to look at this are, number 1, by identifying a potential opportunity that you could use or leverage to create a more interesting and bright future for yourself, or to identify a challenge, something that's holding you back or something that's preventing you from ultimately achieving something that is important to you. Now, the reason why it's so important to get started by identifying an opportunity or a challenge is because it's all too easy to choose a book based on its current popularity or its attractive cover design, or even something like a recommendation or referral based on a book that a friend might have enjoyed, which may or may not be as relevant to you. So, very important right from the beginning to get clear on what it is that you are excited to learn about. Now, if for any reason you don't have a clear sense of a topic or a theme that might be interesting to explore, only then should you consider reaching out to an employer, a coworker, or maybe to a friend or family member to get their input. But even then, very important as the suggestions come in to ultimately settle on one that you are excited to explore. So with that in mind, let's continue on to tip number 2. Find relevant and qualified recommendations. Once you have a sense for the topic or the theme that you're interested in exploring, it's time to get familiar with the kinds of books that are available within that category. And the easiest way to accomplish this is to go to a search engine like Google and to simply enter a relevant phrase. So for example, if you're interested in leadership, well, you might go to Google and enter a phrase like best leadership books or leadership book recommendations, something like that. And you're simply looking for what other people are recommending within that category. Now, ideally, you want to get book recommendations from someone who is qualified. And so you want to look for somebody that has achieved what it is that you're setting out to achieve. So a simple example would be, if you're interested in learning a second language, well, take book recommendations from somebody else that has already learned a second language, and ideally, who used a book to help along with that process. Because if they relied on that book and they were able to achieve the intended result, odds are that book is going to be a much stronger one for you to consider. Now, if you're interested in business-related books, I do have a number of reading lists covering my favorite books on various topics, including digital marketing, entrepreneurship, product management, and other related topics. So if you're looking for a great book that relates to business, you can check out some of my reading lists. I'll link them up for you down in the episode description box. But the core idea here behind tip number 2 is to simply get familiar with the top 5 or 10 books that relate to what it is that you're aiming to achieve. With that in mind, let's continue on to tip number 3. Understand the limitations of rating systems. Simple star rating systems are very tricky because they don't convey a lot of useful information. For example, a book can be rated 4 out of 5 stars, and yet, even though people love it, it might simply not be the right book for you. So just because a book has a high rating, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the book that you should pick up next. Now, one interesting thing that I've discovered is that when a book has a very clear, defined audience and has broad appeal within that audience, it's much more likely that that book is going to have a higher rating. So for example, if you're looking for a book on leadership where it's clearly defined and the average person that picks up a book on leadership is going to get at least some value out of that kind of a book, well, on average, those kinds of books are going to be much higher rated because more of the people that read them are going to enjoy them, and thus they're going to give them higher ratings. Whereas if you look at a smaller niche topic, you might find a book that is absolutely perfect for its intended audience, but if some people pick up that book by mistake or thinking it's about something else and they read the book assuming it's going to create value for them and it doesn't, well, those people might invariably end up pulling the average rating down because even though the book may be perfect for its intended audience, they read the book, they didn't get as much value from it, and so the average rating comes down. So the narrower the focus, generally speaking, and the harder it is to identify whether or not the book is ideal for a specific reader, you should come to expect much lower ratings on average in that situation. So with all of that in mind, it's not entirely fair to set a minimum threshold as being a great indicator of whether or not a book is right for you. It's much more important to rely on things like reviews and previewing the content of the book. So as a general rule, I typically look for books that have at least 500 ratings so that I know I can find reviews and additional information to help me make a decision. And I tend to look for books that are at least 3.5 stars out of 5. But even that is a pretty soft rule because, again, it's not very indicative of the overall quality or relevance of the book. So with that in mind, let's continue on to tip number 4. Always preview the content before you buy. Books can be a relatively large investment, not in terms of money, but in terms of the time and energy that goes into extracting maximum value out of the book. So with that in mind, once you've narrowed the list down to a handful of books, one thing I strongly recommend is that you take a few moments to quickly preview the content of each book that you're considering. And all this involves is quickly scanning the table of contents and, if possible, the very first chapter of the book, because typically that helps set the stage for what you should expect from the rest of the book. So if you can, you can go to your local bookstore, you can pick up a copy of the book, you can quickly scan through the table of contents and that first chapter. If that isn't an option for whatever reason, you can go to online platforms like Amazon or the Apple Bookstore, and typically you can download a free preview that will include the table of contents and most, if not all, of the very first chapter. Now, if you're looking for additional information, you can, of course, check out user reviews, see what other people think of the book. Oftentimes, this can be hit or miss, but sometimes you can find a really great review that will help you decide whether or not it's right for you. Let's continue on to tip number 5. Consider listening to the audio edition first. This last tip is a great option for anybody that has very limited reading time, but who might have a lot of time when it comes to consuming audio content. So for me personally, I find it far more convenient to listen to audiobooks, whether I'm out on a walk or I'm driving or I'm doing chores around the house. I find the audio format just much easier to fit into my everyday life. So what I typically do is once I found a book that I feel will be very interesting and relevant to me, I'll first listen to the audio edition. I'll get as much value as I can from the audio edition. And then if I feel I could get even more value from the book, I'll typically wait a month or two and then I'll revisit the book either in physical form or more often in digital form, where I can add highlights and notes and other things like that to get even more value out of the book. Of course, the physical version has the added benefit of being able to share it with other people. And typically, if I've really enjoyed a book and I know somebody else that would benefit from it, I do pick up the physical copy. But I do find the digital is just that much easier when it comes to adding highlights and other things like that that can help me go that much deeper and extract even more value out of the book. But anyway, those are 5 of my best tips for choosing great books to read. Let me quickly recap all 5 for you here. Number 1, Identify a clear opportunity or challenge. Number two, find relevant and qualified recommendations. Number three, understand the limitations of rating systems. Number four, always preview the content before you buy. And finally, number five, consider listening to the audio edition first. Again, if you're interested in business-related books on leadership, product management, entrepreneurship, digital marketing, or other related topics, I do have dedicated reading lists that cover my favorite books on those subjects and several others. And I'll link those up for you in the description box. That's it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments about anything that we covered here, let me know down in the comment section. If you're listening to the audio edition, I'll include a link in the show notes that'll take you over to the video edition where you can participate in the comment section. If you're interested in more content like this in the future, I recommend that you subscribe or follow my updates on social media. Thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to connecting with you again in a future episode.